Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Petrone. There's a lot of material to cover tonight, folks, so I'm going to get right to it. I want to start the show with a discussion of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. With everything going on in this world, terrorist bombings, heads of state traveling all over the world, everything out of whack, politics, Donald Trump, the GMOs have fallen out of the news, but things have been happening, and I want to bring them to your attention. There has been a new study, that revealed something that a multiple of studies over the past few years have revealed, and that is that long exposure to Monsanto's pesticide Roundup causes damage to liver and kidneys. Roundup causes damage to liver and kidneys. We have known this forever, but a new study bolstered what had been already brought to the public's attention. This was a two-year study. The United Kingdom, Italy, and France involved. The results were just published this past August. The problem involves glyphosate. Glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in the pesticide Roundup. And again, it said very little amounts, very small amounts are required to cause injury to liver or kidneys, either by inhalation or by the stuff touching your body, okay? And that's the story on that. And this bothers me, by the way, liver and kidneys being affected, because Monsanto's pesticide is being sold in all the stores in this country. Go to Home Depot here in Key West. You can buy it off the shelf. I'm not knocking Home Depot, but there's so many tests saying this stuff sucks. This is dangerous to the human body. Why are they selling it? Another thing about GMOs involves the state of California. And this was a study done by a network group, a group of several different organizations, the Center for Biological Diversity, the Center for Environmental Health, El Quinto Sol de la America, Californians for Pesticide Reform, the Center for Food Safety and Pesticide Action. And they got into glyphosate also, and they found this. It was being used in California. The state was spraying the stuff, okay? And, okay, here's what happened. More than half the glyphosate was sprayed in California in the eight poorest counties. Did you hear me? The eight poorest counties economically had the most of that pesticide sprayed in their counties. These are counties that are lived in by Hispanics and Latinos. In 2014, the California Department of Public Health did a study of Hispanic children, and that study revealed by the California Department of Health that Hispanic children, 91% of them, are more likely than white kids to attend, schools nearest high pesticide use, which now brings me to the Federal Drug Administration. This is terrible. The FDA, and this just came up, the FDA will not compel food companies to label GMO plant foods. In other words, for the last several years, there's been a big drive on across the world, not just in the United States, South America, Central America, Europe, and Asia, that genetically modified, prepared with using genetically modified organisms, that they be labeled. There'd be a label someplace, say GMOs. That's all. So people who don't want to use this stuff, people who believe that it is a danger to their health and their family's health, would not have to use it. All right. Well, it came up before a federal regulatory agency, the Federal Drug Agency, on a citizen's petition, and the petition said, I want GMO labeling if there's GMOs in food product. The FDA came out this past week with a 30-page letter decision, and they said, you know, it's a fact that plants are produced in different methods, and it's not our job to decide which method is better than another. Our responsibility is if there are characteristics in the resulting foods that tell us there will be a danger. We don't know that yet. They don't accept all these studies that were done. And so we got to say we're not going to compel producers of foods containing GMOs to label them with GMOs. Well, here's what I want to share with you. This is a perfect example of the influence of money in Washington. Okay. Not only do the major corporations in this country have lobbyists and attorneys and everything else to influence our congressmen and senators, they also have them out there influencing the bureaucrats, the civil servants. Let's call them lifetime civil servants, most of them. And it's done in a very simple way. They tell these people while they're dealing with them, because they deal with them too, and they say, hey, you know, when you get ready to retire or you want to leave this job, you will always have a job with this company. And these guys know they've got the way greased for themselves now. And they lean. I'm not making this up. It's out there. You can read about this stuff on the internet. And so these people are susceptible. And by the way, these jobs are going to pay a hell of a lot more than the civil servant job they are presently involved in. And what happens is you get a decision like this, no GMO labeling. Because, you know, it's just another way of growing food, and we don't know if it's really dangerous, those food products. It's an absolute shame, my friends. Which brings me now to the Euro Union. 16 nations. There are 28 nations involved in the Euro Union. 16 of the 28 recently voted to opt out, to get out, to not have GMOs, okay? They don't want it grown, they don't want it produced, they don't want anything in their country having to do with a GMO, with GMOs. The decision, this was done, by the way, as recently as October 3rd. These 16 countries want to protect agriculture and food, and they say, out, you can't grow it, you can't, you have a plant working with this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what's interesting here is this. We don't throw GMOs out in this country. If anything, if you look at the history of the legislation, the federal legislation is very supportive of GMOs. Monsanto, Dow Chemical, they got a lock on Washington. The Russians, Putin's a pain in the ass. He is a bully. He's a troublemaker. He could precipitate a third world war. The guy is dangerous, but 2 years ago he said, no more GMOs in Russia. We are throwing them out because Russia is not part of the Euro Union. He even did it before the Euro Union. He says, out. And he also said when he made that statement, he said, I don't care that the United States permits GMOs. If they want to kill themselves, so be it. We are not going to do it. I also, falling under the title of GMOs, I look at animal products, beef, lamb, chickens, because there are ways, and it's being done around the world in varying degrees, not big time yet, but getting there, cloning of animals. That's the only way to put it. There are new ways to raise a lot of animals. And we're going to China now. China announced this week it is opening the world's largest animal cloning factory. Animal cloning factory. By the way, this factory is primarily being built to clone cows. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But it's also going to clone dogs, which I don't understand unless they eat dogs over there. And they may. I didn't check it out. But they're also going to clone racing horses. The Asians are big on horse racing. They're big on gambling. Some of the world's finest racetracks are located in Asia. So, China, they're going to build the largest cloning factory. And the reason is, as the Chinese explain, and this is the story. I've talked about this previously in different ways over the years. There is a growing middle class in China. The Chinese government 20, 30 years ago decided they wanted a strong middle class, because a strong middle class has everything, and people who have everything are going to keep those people in power who are presently in power in China and have been in power. So they give them everything. You can, if you're in the middle class in China, you can buy a house, even if you can't pay the mortgage. The government provides the money. Now you have a house. They have built so many office buildings in China. They built them because they wanted to rent the space or sell the space, and they also built them to provide work for people. So these construction people could take home these big pay salaries, which would put them in a middle class. They got their strong middle class. Now, what does the middle class want? It wants everything the middle class, when it had money in this country, wanted. And one of those things in China is beef. Big time, they want beef. Well, there's not enough cows, okay? Even though they import cows also so they can have beef, still not enough. They're building a factory. The factory is going to cost $313 million, and here is what it's going to do. It is going to produce, via cloning, 100,000 embryos a year. 100,000 embryos a year. I've got to assume that translates into a lot of cows. Maybe not all the 100,000 can be used effectively, maybe only 90,000. But they're going to clone, make their own cows so their people have beef. I want to talk now about the Syrian refugees briefly. I've talked about this before, too. I want to tie it together tonight. I want to repeat it. That's what I want to do. I'm a lawyer. I'm accustomed to repeating. In the courtroom, I used to repeat and repeat and repeat. I knocked the point out. I knocked it into the jurors' minds. Here's what I wanted them to know, and I want to share this with you. The rich Arab countries do not want the Syrian refugees. The following countries have not accepted one Syrian refugee. These are their own people. They're Muslims. They don't want them. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates. They don't want them, okay? But they want us to take them, England, France, Germany. But they don't want them because they know what's going to happen. It disrupts the whole system. Now let's go to Russia and the Syrian refugees. This is amazing. About 2 weeks ago, Russia hadn't spoken. Yes, no, maybe. What are they going to do? The other European countries are taking them. Russia said, we don't want any of these Syrian refugees, okay? They didn't say this, but they were in effect like the Arab states. We are not going to take one Arab refugee. Well, the shit hit the fan. That's the only way I can put it. And in 5 days, Russia came out with a new statement. They would take only middle-class Syrian refugees, the professionals, the engineers, the doctors, the lawyers, and people of that nature, because these people, they want selective refugees. In other words, these people had a better chance of becoming part of the Russian society, productive people in the Russian society, self-supporting people in the Russian society, and would not become financially dependent on the government. We're going to go to Cologne, Germany now. This is funny, but this is true. This is wild. People pee on walls. Pee, urinate. Outdoor walls. Here's what happened in Cologne. There's a railroad station in Germany in Cologne. It has a large wall surrounding the parking lot. Men had to pee. Whoever they were, whatever they were, they didn't want to go pee in a public toilet or wherever, so they pee on the wall, okay? And after a while, there was enough peeing on this wall, and it was a large wall, that the area stunk. It had this odor of urine. You know, if a baby's diaper sits around too long, it stinks, all right, even though it's taken off the baby. So what they did was, and by the way, these peers, they call them, are also called wild pinkers. They're also called free peers. What this railroad did, this is their wall, they painted the wall with a special kind of paint, a urine-repellent paint that was extremely hydrophobic, which meant that any stream of liquid that hits the wall will bounce back off the wall at the same angle, resulting in the person who's doing the peeing to have the peeing bounce back on them. In other words, if a man's standing up and he's holding his pecker, excuse the way I put it, he's peeing against the wall, he's peeing with an arch, the fluid, the water, it hits the wall. As soon as it hits the wall, it's not going to drop to the ground. It's going to come back up in the air in the same arc and hit him in the body. And this, of course, is being done to discourage this type of peeing. The government of Cologne put signs up. They diagrammed it, and they showed specifically what I just described, man peeing on the wall, the pee bouncing back, okay, at the same angle. And they also said, you know, they said, you pee on me, I pee on you. That's what the sign in the railroad station said. I pee on you, pee on me, I pee on you. Well, I thought, you know, this is strange. I've never heard of this happening and someone having this problem and handling it in this fashion. Well, let me tell you something. San Francisco, California, a big city in our country, this past summer, they had a peeing problem. 9 separate walls in 9 separate places. The homeless people would, male and female, would urinate on or against that wall, okay? So what did they do? They painted the wall, okay, with this urine repellent paint, this extremely hydrophobic paint, and because the stink in the area where these 9 walls were, the people just couldn't handle the smell anymore. Something had to be done. They couldn't get the people to pee anyplace else, the homeless people, so they put that stuff up so the people would pee on themselves, and that's the way it is in San Francisco now. Amazing. Which now brings me to the Eiffel Tower. My column this week, I wanted to do a column for Cock Life, and this column, by the way, that I'm going to discuss very briefly now, publishes tomorrow. It'll hit the stands tomorrow. Everything's happening in Paris, the terrorist attack. We have the Paris Climate Summit this for the next 2 weeks. So I wanted to make my contribution regarding Paris, and I came up with the Eiffel Tower. And it's nothing unusual. It's just, I call it, in effect, a biography of the Eiffel Tower. For example, this is what I learned, and these are some of the things in the column this week. The Eiffel Tower was built for the Paris Centennial Exhibition of 1889. It was called that, but in reality, it was a World's Fair. World's Fair 1889, and the purpose of this World's Fair in 1889 was to celebrate the French Revolution 100 years before. It was built only to stand for 20 years. The Parisians hated this thing, okay? And so the compromise was, we'll build it for the centennial, for the World's Fair, but it must come down in 20 years, okay? Well, 1889, it opened at the World's Fair. 20 years later is around 1909. Well, from 1890 to 1910, those 20 years was really the birth of and the expansion of radio worldwide. Okay? Now, what better? You need high things to put the antennas on. The highest thing in France, almost 1,000 feet high, was the Eiffel Tower. So radio saved the Eiffel Tower. Immediately they put up the antennas and they could communicate with London, Berlin, and North Africa. And then when the U.S. Army hooked up into them, they could communicate with the United States, and the United States could communicate with Paris. The Parisians hated this thing when it was going up or planned. They described it as a lamppost stuck in the belly of Paris, an odious column of bolted metal, useless and monstrous, overwhelming and humiliating to other monuments. It survived, obviously. It's still up today. The first year it was up, 2 million people visited the tower, the Eiffel Tower. Today, 7 million people visit the Eiffel Tower a year. That amounts to 250,000 visitors a day. It's, as I described, it's nearly 1,000 feet tall, consists of 3 floors, 9 elevators. It's built of wrought iron, 18,000 pieces of wrought iron, and 2.5 million rivets. That is what makes up the Eiffel Tower, plus the elevators and steps. 18,000 pieces of wrought iron and 2.5 million rivets. Two architects were involved, Alexander Gustav Eiffel and his employee, Morris Coughlin. They had both worked several years before on the armature for the Statue of Liberty. The Eiffel Tower today is recognized as one of the seven wonders of the world. Read my column. You can read it in Conk Life. You can also, it will be linked Thursday to my Key West Lou website. You'll find it interesting. There's nothing unusual about it. It's just informative background information on how the tower came to be and what it does. Want to talk about, I told you I had a lot to cover tonight. I'm not talking fast, I don't think, but I wanted to get a lot of this out tonight. I want to talk about the United States and our bombing of ISIS in Syria. It was recently announced that the United States has already done 600,000 sorties. In other words, we sent 600,000 planes out to bomb Syria. Isn't that amazing? We've sent these planes, 600,000! All right. We haven't, but these planes, they don't drop many bombs. Some of them never, most of them never drop bombs or do any shooting. And the reason is political correctness, political correctness. And it's not 600,000, 6,000 sorties, I'm sorry. I get carried away sometimes. What happens is we as a people, our government, do not want to kill or injure civilians. I don't buy this. I don't buy this. I think when you're at war, you fight a war as a war. You destroy the nation. You destroy the people. You destroy the people who run it. We didn't screw around and say we're not going to hurt civilians in World War II. Look what we did. We dropped an atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Better to kill them than our people. Look what we did to the major cities in Germany, Berlin, Dusseldorf. We bombed the hell out of them. People had no place to live. We killed civilians because historically, you kill a populace also. They are the ones who have put in or keep in power the leadership, which has gone bad. You've got to turn the people against them. If you don't bother shoot the people or bomb the civilians, then nobody's going to upset the government internally. What the hell are we doing? And we're not doing an effective job outside because we hold back. We are politically correct. We don't want to hurt the civilians. Perfect example. We know that ISIS makes $1 million a year off their oil production. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? And this, they don't have a problem with a pipeline. They transport the oil in tankers, tank trucks with drivers in them. Well, before Putin, when he got into this war 2 or 3 weeks ago, he bombs the hell out of those trucks with the drivers in them. What has the United States been doing, and what do we still do? We drop leaflets before we bomb so the drivers can pick up one of these leaflets and it says, get the hell out of here, in a half hour we're going to bomb your truck. And they do. Now, I don't think that's the way to run a war, because if these people are driving those trucks, they must be ISIS supporters. But whether they are or not is immaterial. War is war. Whoever the Islamists who were responsible for 9/11, were they selective? They killed almost 3,000 people. They didn't say, let the civilians out. We only want the military. It doesn't make sense to me. You don't fight a war this way. We don't fight to win in this country. We learned that in Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan. We're learning it here in Syria. We're supposedly the strongest country in the world. Let's act that way. Okay? Which now brings me to Santa Claus. This is disgraceful. I'm laughing as I say it. Parents take their children to see Santa Claus. In stores, department stores, shopping centers. Had been doing it for, what, 100 years, 150 years in this country. Cherry Hill Shopping Mall, very large shopping mall in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. They built a little house, sort of a house, and put Santa Claus in it in the shopping center. And they titled the thing, Adventure to Santa, Adventure to Santa. And it was a big deal. I mean, when you went in there, it was like going to the North Pole. It took 15 to 20 minutes to go through the theme house there before you saw Santa Claus. And then you saw Santa Claus, okay? And then you could have your picture taken and all that kind of thing. Well, here's the story, my friends. A child going through alone through what I just described, the charge was $35. If the whole family wanted to go through, this is in order to visit Santa Claus sitting on his lap, the family had to pay $75, okay? Not right. The people were irritated. It took only 5 days for the people who run the Cherry Hill Shopping Mall to say, we're sorry, no, you don't have to pay. Everyone come. It is free. A baby found in a church manger. The church is the Holy Child Jesus Church in Queens, New York. Newborn baby, still got the umbilical cord attached, wrapped in towels, was laid in a manger inside the Catholic Church. You know, a manger, you build it where Jesus, Mary and Joseph, Mary's pregnant, they went to Bethlehem. They couldn't get a room at the inn. This is true, no room at the inn. They were put in a little shed or barn with straw and animals, and then the three wise men came, and Jesus was born there, and they placed him in a manger, a little bed of straw. I believe this. I am a Catholic. All Christians believe this, and that is our story. Well, this mother who had this baby, she wrapped him in towels and brought him in and left him in the manger in the church. No one saw her do it because she knew her baby would be found, and the manger, she felt, was warm. It was good for the baby. The mother came back the next morning, by the way, to see if the baby was okay, and now the baby's up for adoption. The priest in charge of the church apparently has found a couple in the parish who want the baby. The mother will not be prosecuted. New York has a safe haven law. It's called the Safe Haven Law, and it permits a parent to abandon a newborn anywhere without fear if it's placed in a safe place, if it's left in a safe place. And the prosecutors feel the mother wrapped it in a towel, left it in a church, knowing someone would find it. The place was warm and came back the next day to make sure everything was okay. And this young mother will not be prosecuted. Which now brings me to basketball. Okay, basketball. Well, before I get to basketball, I've got time to throw in a little prostitution. We're in Mountjoy, Pennsylvania. Her name is Crystal Swigert. She's 32 years old. She ran an ad on Craigslist, okay, for massage service, $50. She got arrested for running a house of prostitution. She was doing this out of her home. She says, Crystal says, no way was I committing prostitution. She said, I charged for the massage. If there was sex afterwards, it was, and she called it, quote, free fun. She said, I did not solicit payment for sex. We're merely two consulting adults having fun. Good luck. Now, basketball. Syracuse, my Syracuse, beat two ranked teams last week. All of a sudden, we weren't ranked anywhere. We are ranked. Let's see, where the hell are we ranked? We're ranked in all three polls. AP, we're 14th. The coaches poll, 19th. CBS, 13th. I'm glad. They forgot about us this year. I think the last time they forgot about us like this, we won the Final Four. But we shall see. It's early in the season, but at least we're in the rankings now, and it pleases me. My blood runs orange. That's the show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it, my friends. Please return next week to join me again. I love sharing this information with you. And I hope you enjoy receiving it. Have a good evening. Talk with you next week.